Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Lori Peterson, and if you didn't catch our last episode, we are in the middle of a two-part interview with ADHD coach Michael Snyder. Last episode, we talked a lot about what it's like to live with ADHD, and we started to touch a little bit on exactly what an ADHD coach does. So I'm excited for you to come back and hear the rest of it today. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the last episode, listen to that first and then come back here and finish up. Here is my second part of the interview with Michael Snyder. What do you think is the best age or best time to start coaching? Because honestly, I mean, if you think about it, the things that you do for clients, you know, medication is great. It helps you focus. And we could talk, we could do three more hours about that. But it isn't going to keep you from procrastinating.
No.
It isn't going to keep you organized. It's not going to be help your time blindness and right. make you, you know, be able to manage your time. So, you know, to me, first grade, right? But are first graders really ready for a coach?
Great question. So it all depends.
Okay.
Yeah, it all depends. You can only meet someone, you know, where they are.
Right.
Right. No matter where in life. Like you mentioned before about like, oh, like picking up that ADHD book. Right. It took me 4.5 years for me to finally meet that book where I was at.
Right.
Right. And it goes for any age of a client. That's right. True. So, I think that it depends on the child. It depends on the family. It depends on, you know, the child's needs.
So how do you figure that out? Once you get a call from somebody, they say, okay, I want you to help my, you know, let's just pretend they're calling about their sixth grader.
Yeah.
To me, that's a very in the middle age, just
sure.
in my
yeah,
mind.
Absolutely.
So how do you approach that and say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do to figure out if your child's ready for this?
Yeah. I'd interview the child. You know, I typically won't meet with somebody that young, but, you know, I'm always open to it because, you know what? Hey, maybe I really like the kid and, you know, I think this might actually be a great fit.
And they may have a self-awareness.
Right.
At a level that's not typical for a sixth grader.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And one of the biggest things is so whether it's, and I think this goes from, you know, let's just say as young as sixth grade up to like, college age is, you know, typically it's the parent reaching out to you.
Right.
Right. And one of the things I explained to him is like, hey, we'd love to, you know, meet with your kid, you know, your daughter or son via Zoom, whatever, kind of get a sense of, you know, like what they're at, if they have goals, like what they're thinking. And of course, you know, I talk with a parent beforehand, be like, hey, what's going on? And those stories are always very similar.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Very, very similar.
Not getting homework turned in.
Right. You know, like lying about this or, you know, right. you just
getting
you
in
know,
trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. Not being able to focus, you know, hyperactive, yeah. whatever. And if I feel like the child has some of their own goals or see, because if the child doesn't if they don't see anything wrong.
If there's no problem, what's there to fix?
Exactly. Right. So like, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
I'm fine.
Yeah. This is stupid.
But those conversations are always very funny.
Yeah.
Because I meet with them and it's like, well, did your parents tell you hey, Brian, you know, whoever it is, like, right. do your parents like tell you who I am or what I do? They're like, well, they're, you know, like, I'm just some other dude. Like,
right. You're just somebody else that one more person that's going to try to help me. Yeah.
Right. Or try to tell them what to do.
Bingo.
Right. And that's one of the very first things when I do one of these, like, I would say discovery call with clients, it's kind of like, or just kind of see what they're thinking is that I'm like, hey, this relationship is going to be totally different than any other, you know, adult relationship like right. you have in your life. Right. Like, I want to work on what you want to work on, right? Like, I want you to fulfill whatever dreams or whatever needs or, you know, whatever you want to do in life or, you know, in life too big, right? But like in this moment,
right?
Right? Like
we're not gonna talk about your career. We're gonna talk about like getting through today in sixth grade
exactly,
or whatever, right? Yeah,
exactly. Right. So like, and I want to hear that they have like, you know what? I don't like doing, you know, I don't like when I'm not paying attention. Like, and is it, you know, so the thing here is that is this something that their parents are telling them that they're doing wrong, right, or that they understand that they're doing wrong and want to change?
So if the child were to say, let's say it's a sixth grader, and they said, I really want to get into the XYZ private school for high school. That is my goal. And on the path I'm on right now, it isn't going to happen. My grades suck. I don't do my work. I forget to turn my stuff in, but I want to get to this school. Is that a goal you can take and break down? Or are they, I mean, is that self-awareness enough? Or I want to be able to keep, you know, I want to be eligible to play my sport, or it's something that's maybe a consequence. You know, it's not, I want to make A's and I want to get all my work turned in, but those things have to happen so that I can do this, whatever that thing is. Does that, can you help them make the connection between those things? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes total sense. Yeah. So it depends on why they want to get there. Right. So, for the private school versus like playing varsity football or something like that. Right. Or just being able to play like a sport or whatever it might be. Right. So the sport, either way, the conversation comes back to interest and what do they really want, right? Like, is this something being like, you know, your parents like really want you to play football because, you know, they, you know, because your dad played football, right? And then play college football, like whatever, right? So is that them pushing this?
Or is this your dream?
Right. Is this your dream? Right. So like the private school thing, I mean, I don't have kids, right?
Why is this important to you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that makes, you know, sense. Yeah. So like, if it is something like, hey, I want to do this because I want to be a doctor. Like, there's all these beliefs and values in there, which aren't necessarily theirs.
Right. And that's so fascinating because you don't think about that, right? Yeah. You don't think about that a child's goals are not always theirs.
Right.
They've just been it's what they've been told.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So to get to the root of that, you've got to have a certain level of maturity.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of the stuff just takes time.
It does.
Yeah, it just takes time.
But then I think back to that sixth grader again, and I think, well, couldn't the goal be, and couldn't you ask them, what if your goal was just to not get in trouble every day for, I mean, is that something that you would want? Like, I mean,
yeah,
you know, like, what if we just worked on not getting grounded and getting your stuff taken away because you forget to do your homework? What if I can help you with that?
Right.
You know, I feel like they'd be like, oh, I'm in. Yeah. Right. Like, I'm in, whatever we got to do.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, for a day or two. I don't know if it would stick. Right. I mean, that's a thing, too.
Well, and this is what I tell parents of this age. One, also the other options when someone who's younger is like these parents are lost. Right. Like they have this kid. And I think we mentioned about the developmental delay with, you know, it could be.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that for a second.
Right. Yeah. So like with ADHD, someone could be 3 to 5 years, 4 to 6 years, like have this developmental delay. So like if you're 15 mentally, you might be a 10-year-old. Right. And parents will come to me where they're like, oh, my son's 18, like, or, you know, 20 or 23. Like, I'm afraid that we're stuck in the house the rest of life. Or, hey, he's going to go off to school. And like, I'm talking to him about like, oh, becoming a man. Right.
He's not. Yeah. Becoming independent.
Right. And then he's like, oh, he's had temper tantrums, you know, like when he's like 18 years old. Right. And I'm like, well, were you aware that like there's this developmental delay and it can manifest in different ways? They could be very mature and like in another way and just not as mature in one way.
The ADHD brain is so fascinating.
It's incredible.
But that immaturity thing is huge.
It's huge. I look back on things, you know, from my life where I'm like, wow. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah. 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 But just like the impulsivity and thrill seeking and things like that, right? Like just looking for like this, you know, dopamine rush, right? And I'm like, well, how he's acting at 18, right? Where you're talking about him being a man, right? Like, I don't know. I guess like you turn 18. I don't know what it is about 18.
Though, but right?
Yeah. Yeah, just going to college, I guess.
You get to vote. I don't know.
Yeah. But I was like, are the things that he's doing seem more of somebody like that a 14 or 15 year old that would expect from a 14 or 15 year old? They're like, well, yeah, probably. I'm like, well, that's because mentally
you've got to meet him there.
Right.
Right. You've got to lower your expectations
exactly.
A little bit.
Exactly.
Ooh, that's so hard for parents, though, isn't it?
So hard managing expectations, right? For, you know, for parents, for kids also, because kids also see, you know, all these other kids around them, right? And they're like, why is it so easy for these other kids and so hard for me?
Which goes back to why the counseling is so important, because they've spent their life wondering why they're 3 steps behind everybody else.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And especially, I think that's even more important as you get diagnosed later in life. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, because, you know, you've gone through where life's only kind of taught one way. They only do school, you know, one way, except for like if it's a specialty school or like something like that.
Right. If you were lucky enough to get something like that.
Right. And then at the end, it's like you're, you know, like even for me, like when I read that ADHD book, like I was like, oh, I'm not like, you know, my whole life I felt crazy, lazy, stupid, unmotivated, right? Like all of those things. And I was just like, no, there's a reason for this, right? Like it wasn't because I didn't care about things. It's like, okay, well, I didn't have an interest in some of these things, right?
My brain just works different.
Right. And when you're forced to do those things like you have zero interest in and told to try harder, the harder you try, the worse it gets.
Amen.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's so fascinating. So what about help for parents who have, you know, because that totally explains then why you wouldn't coach with a first grader, because what kind of goals do a first grader have? Nothing.
Right.
Like they're not ready to set those kinds of goals and understand organization and time management and all those executive functioning skills. So helping parents then manage and structure things, right? Understand how to manage their expectations, how to set boundaries and structure at home, I would think, would be something that maybe you might be able to provide as well. Not for the child, more for the parent, right? Yep. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, because once again, like the parent doesn't really know and it's not their fault, right? Like they're, you know, it's.
This is new to them too.
Right. Right. Like they didn't, you know, like it's not something anybody asked for. Right. No. And then of course, once again, like, you know, the stigma behind ADHD and just like, oh, well, they have ADHD. It's like, okay, now what?
Right.
Right. And then also like, you know, kind of what you guys do and like comes into play, you know, with your business is like, hey, like here are your options.
Right.
Right. And that's all you can do. Educate on options. Right. Right. And it's the same thing with like if you're working with a parent like that. Right. If I was working with, you know, parents like that, it's like, hey, like, you know, talking through like what's going on in the house.
Right.
Right?
Helping them understand that punishing.
Right.
For behaviors that are clearly ADHD driven behaviors is making it worse, not better. Mm-hmm. Right. Like help. And I think that's kind of like helping them instead of punishing, what are your alternatives?
Right.
You know, how do you manage this at home to help your child feel better about themselves? What do you feel about educating the child or the student or the adolescent about what ADHD is? Like, how important is that?
So important. So important. It goes towards a self-awareness. Right. Like I said before, the only thing I understood about ADHD was like, you know, I took medication, I was hyperactive.
Right.
You know, I couldn't pay attention. Right. But like, you know, like there's just so many other things like how do you learn? Right. Like your processing modalities, you know, like it's different for everybody and manifest themselves in different ways and different things that you learn.
Right.
Right.
Can you imagine if you'd had the knowledge you have now when you were 10 or a fraction of what you know now about ADHD when you were first diagnosed? Can you imagine the difference in your ability to manage it?
Well, I'll tell you something, even just the impulsivity piece of it, it was something I had no idea of. And when I look back and connect the dots, right? So like it's a very simple thing with impulsivity, right? It's not always easy, but you know, it's a strategy I work on with clients is like stopping to take a step back and pause,
right?
Like, okay, why am I about to do this? Why am I about to, you know, like this kid was making fun of me. I'm going to rail off. I'm going to punch him in the face.
Right.
Right. Not the easiest thing.
To stop.
Right. Right. Because impulsively you just take over, you know, and you're just
you
like,
just act.
I'm just, right. Like fight or flight. And we're naturally, you know, we're naturally created to fight.
Right.
Right. You don't think about the consequences. So like, will it still happen? Yeah. It will, right? But if the kid can learn, like, here's a trigger, I know when these situations come up that I lose my temper, right? You know,
I mean, if you would have known that kids making fun of you, like if someone would have been able to sit down and talk to you about this and about how that sets an impulse and said, okay, so now the next time someone says something to you, instead of, and you know it's coming, right? Like you're there,
yeah.
Walk away. You know, like just something like that. Like, can you imagine that would have saved you from getting in trouble probably five more times?
Yeah.
You know, this is a silly question, but did the punishment help when you got punished for that? No, because you can't, if you didn't do it on purpose, right? If it wasn't premeditated, how do you change it? Like you can't, but I think parents get hung up on that punishment. For forgetting to turn work in or for, you know, fighting,
right.
You know, or for lying. Oh, lying's the big one.
Yeah, lying's huge.
And it's so impulsive. It's so impulsive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know, and that they get hung up on that. We'll just start. And parents will, when they call us, they'll say, we've taken everything away and it's not working. I'm like, right.
Yeah.
And it won't. But you've almost made it worse now, because now you've punished them and told them how bad they are, and they want to do better.
Yeah.
They don't know how.
They don't. It's not a malicious thing.
No, they're good kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like the thing with like the impulse of fighting and then like getting into trouble, not only by the school, but then by their parents. Oh, yeah. There's only ever one side of the sort of the story. Like the parents like hear like, oh, you know, Johnny, you know, real often and got into fight with whatever. But what about they were making fun of me because like I was making fun of, I licked my lips.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like
nobody acknowledges that.
Right. Exactly. Right.
My favorite thing too is when a parent will say, and I'll say, well, when you ask them why they did it, what do they say? I don't know. And I'm like, well, you know what? They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know why they did it,
yeah.
Right? Because it just happened. Mm. It wasn't premeditated.
Yeah.
You know, like, why did you hit him? Why didn't you just walk away? I don't know.
Yeah.
And that just frustrates parents so much.
It
frustrates me.
So
you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also like with the education piece of the parents, right? Mm-hmm. With the parents having self-awareness for,
yes,
you know, for little Johnny, right? You know, who real often slugged this kid,
right,
you know,
didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, like, okay, he didn't do it on purpose, but like, why did he really do it? And if the kid doesn't know, you know, there's definitely a reason, right?
Right.
Somewhere in there. But once again, they're hearing this, you know, one side from
just the end.
Right.
The bad,
you know,
side.
Just the end, right? And then that's when like kids, like, when I was growing up, like, people, when I was probably 10, God, I don't know the exact age, but you know, 10, somewhere in that range. Like there were some people's, you know, families like that. They're like, no, we don't want Michael coming to the birthday party.
Yep.
Right. Like, cause we're afraid he might start a fight.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, like I got one of my dear friends, one of my oldest friends. Right. I remember her mom was a teacher's aide and you know, God rest her soul, like she passed a few years back, but like, she's like, oh no, Michael's coming to the birthday party.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's like, you know, she was
a champion
person
in your corner. Yeah.
Yeah. And she knew, you know, like, hey, he doesn't like mean this.
He's a good kid.
Yeah.
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 They knew your heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So during a coaching session, how long do they usually last? Like when you meet with somebody, like, is it an hour? Is it 45 minutes? Like what's typical, or do you have a set time?
Yeah. So it typically is like 50 minutes.
Okay.
With someone younger, you know, I say 45 minutes.
Right. You're not going to keep their attention.
Yeah. And typically 50 minutes, by the way, it's usually like, it's an hour, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, for younger kids, like 45 minutes, right? Like it's plenty. And you know what, if we wrap up a little bit early, right? Like, cause like you want them to get what they want without this like dragging on.
Right. Right.
Right? So like, let's say I, with younger clients, right? One of the things, sorry to backtrack, I guess, now of like how, you know, how I'd work with somebody who, like, if I'm not sure they're ready for coaching yet,
right?
I might tell the parents, like, hey, listen, let's give it a shot, right? Let's give it 4, 6, you know, whatever, 8 weeks. And, you know, in 4 weeks, we'll, you know, but, and the parents are always, at that age, the parents are always involved anyway.
Absolutely. And it can't hurt anything.
It can't. You know, I say, hey, we'll give it 4 or 6 weeks. And then we'll see, be like, hey, is, you know, with the kid getting, you know, the child, are they getting what they need? Am I getting personally what, you know, I need out of the relationship, right? Like, we want everyone to be happy. It's a collaborative, you know, it's a partnership. Like, it should be beneficial for all,
right?
And also, I'll have the parents come in for the first 5 minutes of each session, you know, and then maybe like the last 5 minutes, right?
They
get both perspectives.
Sure.
Exactly, right? And then also, like, if we put an action plan, you know, in place, right? With, you know, maybe a specific strategy, probably very, very small strategy.
Right.
Right? Like, loop the parent in and how can they help support? Because I can't be the main support source
for
any client.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Right. So, like, what other resources are available to you? When it's a kid, it's a... You know, typically it's going to be the parents.
Right.
Right. So how can those parents, you know, help without telling them what to do?
Just support them.
Yeah.
Just support what they know they're supposed to be working on.
Exactly.
Without, no, I think that's awesome. So then, and then for older clients, obviously adults.
Yeah.
They're on their own, right?
Yeah.
So 50 minutes to an hour-ish. And then you see clients from anywhere from, I mean, they can be with you for as long as how long usually?
Oh,
I mean, I know you can't set a time.
Yeah. 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 And it, you know, it depends if somebody comes before like one very specific goal that they like, you know, are struggling with, but typically like
it's going to morph into something else.
Yeah. Like for adults, you know, I'd say minimum 6 months. You know, when I do like my agreements, I'm like, hey, you know, we'll do a, you know, a 3 month agreement. 3 months is really where we're just starting to scratch the surface. Sure. And weed through some of these stories, you know, that maybe you're telling yourself or you're telling, you know, telling the world.
Well, and I think what people don't understand with ADHD is that structure and consistency is the most important thing. So you teach me a strategy. I need lots of time to practice it and make it a habit and become, you know, first find the one that works, right? Then do it enough times that it becomes part of my routine, because it's so easy. I can't tell you and we're getting ready to come to January again. So it will be.
Which is mind blowing.
I know. Mind blowing. I know. But I remember last January, I went through 4 planners. Okay. Right? Because I was like, I'm going to use a planner and I'm going to be organized. And I'd get one and be like, nope, don't like this one. Nope, don't like this one. Nope. And I finally found one that I liked, but I still didn't use it. Right? Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't find that consistency and I needed the accountability, right, which is basically what you would be for me, to say, did you use your planner? And then, but why not? Right. So why aren't you using it? And then, well, then maybe that's not the, maybe planner isn't what you need.
Right. Yeah. And maybe it's a digital planner.
It was very hard for me to accept, but I did finally accept that. And I've stopped shooting myself that I should have a planner and I should be organized that way. But I think that you can't just say, oh, get this planner and okay, you're good now. Like you need that practice and make sure it's really what's working. And so you don't know how long it's going to take for anybody.
Yeah. And also planners, it's like, aren't we all guilty of this? You know, like when it comes to following through with a planner, right? I got this new planner. I stuck with it for a month and then I just,
well, I mean, I think when I say we, ADHD people are all familiar with that, but I feel like other people are really good at it. And of course, your perception of what other people do is very skewed also.
Of course.
I feel like everyone else is great at using planners. Yeah. I, on the other hand, have turned it into my to-do list occasionally.
Yeah.
And, but I'm okay with, but I've learned to accept that. And I think that's the big part too, is that there was a time in my life where I would beat myself up over that.
Sure.
And get really upset, you know, and depressed and whatever, not just about the planner, but in general. But you learn, and I think through coaching and through self-awareness, you learn to be like, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
The world will not end if I don't have a perfectly organized planner, right?
And that's something I preach with my clients is be kind to yourself.
Yeah, grace.
Yeah, because like the longer we ruminate on things, like we just have to like, hey, like, You got to live in like your 3-foot world, right? Like you can only control what's in that 3-foot world, right? And then like, you know, like, and just be kind, just like, it's okay, right? Like you're going to be okay. You're not alone, like in, you know, in these struggles, right? Mm-hmm. And like, fortunately, you know, there's people like, you know, you and I who can tell them that and support them, you know, in that. But
that's huge. That's huge. Yeah. And I agree. That's grace is always my word. Like just give them grace. Mm-hmm. Give yourself grace.
Yeah.
Cut yourself some slack. Yeah.
It's, and you know, when in saying that, it's like, well, someone's sitting there ruminating on something or like beating themselves up over it. It happens all the time with my clients. And I'm like, how does this serve you?
Right.
Right. Like when you do this, right, you have a full day of work ahead of you, whatever it might be, right? Or school or whatnot, And you forgot to do one assignment, right? If you sit there and beat yourself up over that, do you get anything else done?
No.
Like what else happens?
Like that sucks, but let's move on. Let's figure out how not to have it happen again.
Exactly.
Like, so how are we going to fix it next time? And then let's get on to get the rest of our day done. No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. So tell me a little bit about how people find you and how do you get new clients and are you working with new clients and give me a little bit about your business and how people find you.
I am currently taking on new clients. Yeah. You can find me through my website, you know, www.michaelsnydercoaching.com. And then on there, there's a contact page. You can contact me through there. I believe my phone number's on there as well. If not,
I think it is.
Okay. Yeah. So my phone number's on there as well.
And we'll put everything in the show notes too.
Okay. Perfect.
All your information, your email, everything.
Yeah. Super easy to find me. And pretty much, you know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, Michael Snyder Coaching.
Easy breezy.
Yeah.
And do you see most of your clients via Zoom or some online conferencing kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I had right before COVID, I had started to see a couple people in person and then it was kind of a blessing because I was like, you know what?
It's hard.
Yeah. And because then I have to transition from, you know, home office to an actual office and then back.
Or you're traveling. Yeah. It's too much.
Yeah. And and actually I get emails from parents, you know, a lot, and just, of course now video conferencing is
so okay.
Right. It's so okay. But people ask me like, hey, is it just as effective? Somebody reached out to me the other day with a 16-year-old and they're like, actually they might be based in Dallas. And they were like, hey, you know, will it be 100%, you know, or
I think it was one of my kids.
Like, is it 100% effective? Right. And I was like, yeah, I was like, absolutely. I was like, you know, it's less about the Zoom, right, conference. Like, yeah, as long as they can see me, whatever. And like, hey, I get on calls with kids and I see them like, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
They're clicking the mouse. I'm like, I know you're not taking notes.
Right.
Right. I'm like, hey, we got 40, you know, 40, 45 minutes together. Let's put that down and let's focus for a second. Right.
Right. And they're going to be respectful of that. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that was awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate this so much. I think what you do is so very important. I think that people with ADHD struggle so much with some of these things, and knowing that there's someone out there that can give them the strategies to help them find that success and just and the confidence, you know, to move forward and learn to live with their ADHD, right? Yeah. Learn to accept it, learn to take advantage of it too, because there's a lot of great things about being ADHD.
So many great things. And honestly, like a big thing is like, hey, you're not alone.
Right. Like that's huge.
Yeah. Like
that's huge.
We'll get through this together. We're gonna be fine. You're gonna live a very happy and fulfilled life. Like
you have
like,
people.
Yeah.
We are your people.
Yeah. 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 You have a tribe. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much. You guys, thank you so much, you guys, for being here today. If you have any questions, you have all of our contact information. You can reach out to Michael. Our email is letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. We are grateful that you were here today. Everyone, have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time.
So thanks great so much. For you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a great interview. It was so fun getting to talk to Michael over the past couple of episodes. I hope you were able to learn some new and helpful information and can walk away with a better understanding of what exactly an ADHD coach does. If you have any more questions, you know where to find us. Our website is diagnostic-learning.com. All of Michael's information is going to be in the show notes. And let's talk learning disabilities. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.